We continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to do a little fun exercise right here with one of the best NFL draft experts in the country for CBS Sports, and that, of course, is Chris Trapasso. We're going to do a top 10 mock draft. I'm going to take the odd picks, and Chris is going to take the even picks, and we're just going to see what does transpire after our five selections each. First off, Chris, appreciate you doing this as always. How you been?
I've been really good. This is fun. This is what we should be doing a week out from the draft. I mean, it feels like the draft could already be here, but we have to fill some air until next weekend. I'm really, really looking forward to it. And this top 10 should be a lot of fun.
And you know what's so compelling about this is there's so many times, like earlier in the week, I made 10 predictions for this NFL draft. And then I'm thinking about, okay, if Chris says this, how is this going to mess up my predictions? And I basically just ripped everything up in the air. I was like, all right, whatever I said in the past, it's out the window. This is a brand new, fresh edition. Chris Trapasso, Zach Gelb, top 10 mock draft.
Yeah, and it's like outside of the first overall pick, and I'm pretty sure I know which direction you're going in, it's like what happens after that? I mean, there's a lot of times, and like the past couple years, we know who's going one. There's Joe Burrow. There's Trevor Lawrence, number two, number three. And it's like the draft doesn't start until pick four, pick five. This year, it's at pick two. And we don't really know which teams are in on these quarterbacks, who doesn't like them. There's a lot more intrigue at the top of this draft than I can remember in a very long time.
And I think the only thing we know, and that's what I'll make my selection first overall, the Carolina Panthers are going to take Bryce Young. And it's funny because I remember being on the air the night when they made that trade to move up into the number one spot and the Chicago Bears fall back to nine. The immediate feel was it was going to be CJ Stroud. And it really does kind of remind me of a few years ago when you saw the 49ers move into the three spot. And right away, everyone was like, oh, it was Chris Sims, who came out and said, who's like best friends with Kyle Shanahan, that it was going to be Mac Jones, and eventually it was Trey Lance. Young is the right pick. I think he's the best quarterback in this draft class, but it is kind of interesting to me, Chris Trapasso, how they had to be won over by Bryce Young, and it appeared to be like Stroud was the initial choice.
Yeah, it was interesting that at the owners' meetings, Frank Reich came out and said, like, hey, it's not going to be Will Levis, not going to be Anthony Richardson, but it's between either Bryce Young or CJ Stroud. I think it's truly not that there's any infighting going on in Carolina, but it's the classic example of like the owner might love someone, the head coach might love someone, the GM might feel differently. They have to spend those weeks, and they probably did after they made that trade to get to one, to all have at least somewhat of a consensus opinion. And it does appear that it is going to be Bryce Young.
So I thought for sure, depending on who would go one, who would go two, that it was going to be, in some order, Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. Your first selection is the second pick with the Houston Texans. And you wake up this week and it's like, uh-oh, wait a second. Maybe it's not going to be CJ Stroud, because we know the Texans really wanted Bryce Young. So what is Chris Trapasso doing with the number two overall pick to the Texans?
All right, I'm going to follow the trade winds or the winds that are going around now, the rumors with the Texans. They're not going to pick a quarterback. They're going to select Will Anderson, the defensive end from Alabama, with D'Amico Ryans there, the head coach who spent time in San Francisco with Nick Bosa, who was just like a slam dunk edge rusher when he came into the league in 2019. Will Anderson isn't quite as good, but I could see Ryan's kind of leaning in that direction to say, hey, look, this guy's been productive for multiple seasons. He's young. He could get better. I understand the impact that a premier edge rusher can have on my defense, and ultimately lean in that direction, still knowing that one of these quarterbacks could fall to them either at 12 overall or within striking distance of them, where they can move up just a little bit. They have a litany of picks to then pick that quarterback later, not just at number two.
But doesn't that scare you at all? Because I operate under the belief that if you're going to take a quarterback, you may as well not get into that game of, okay, we're at 12. Maybe we'll move up to go get our guy. Like, if you believe in the quarterback, just take him at two.
I 100% agree, but we did say off the air that this is going to be what we think will happen.
Yes.
And from what you just said, the fact that these rumors are out there, I don't understand like what leverage or what advantage the Texans could be gaining from this. And you're right that I think most teams operate that way, that they're like, hey, we need a quarterback. We're here at number two. Let's just pick him. why these rumors are all of a sudden swirling around makes me think that there is some credence to them, and that that defensive player might be actually prioritized with that number two overall pick. They just don't love the idea of any of the quarterbacks outside of Bryce Young at number two.
It's almost like they're trying to get the flame to go out so it's not a real shock at draft night when they're on the clock at number two. And they go, well, Anderson, who I think is going to be a phenomenal player, but you know how fans are. They want quarterback, 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 especially with the Texans, who are trying to find that next guy after Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is a pretty good theory. That would not shock me, especially with all the negative press that the Houston organization has had over the last couple of years, to put it out there and kind of let their fans know and let the NFL world know, to kind of brace ourselves for it not being a quarterback in a position with a team that certainly has a gigantic quarterback need.
Let me just ask you one more note on the Texans. I know the thought right now is it's going to be Bryce Young, number one overall. But with the initial report out there that they made that move, and it was Joe Person who had it from The Athletic, who covers the Panthers, saying that the Panthers were going to intend to draft C.J. Stroud. Is there any way on draft night on Thursday we see a trade where the Texans move up to one and then the Panthers fall back to two and the Texans then could draft Bryce Young?
Well, I think it would be a good idea that if you're that close to a quarterback that you apparently really, really like, and you think that you wouldn't have to trade a ton to move up one pick, certainly to get the quarterback to pick that guy, Bryce Young, over the Panthers, they would certainly ask for a fair amount. I think you would have to do it at this point if you're Nick Caserio, the GM. And for D'Amico Ryans, yes, a defensive guy with the history in San Francisco, he'll probably lean a defensive player, but there's nothing better to start your head coaching career with a franchise signal caller. They should certainly explore that option, because if they want to build up this team and they expect to be better next season, they're probably not going to have as good of a chance to pick a premier quarterback in the 2024 draft.
Chris Trapasso here with us. So the first two picks off the board, I have the Panthers taking Bryce Young. You have the Texans at two going Will Anderson. I'm going to do a little curveball here with the third overall pick. I'm going to do our first trade. I'm going to have the Raiders from seven moving up to three. Now, I do think C.J. Stroud's the second best quarterback available. But when I have the Raiders moving up to three, I don't think Stroud is a good fit for them because he's NFL ready and you have Jimmy Garoppolo that you just inked to a new contract. I'm going to say Anthony Richardson is the pick here, where you have the Raiders moving up to three, and then they end up taking Anthony Richardson, which you could have him sit for a year or two and learn behind Jimmy Garoppolo.
How fascinating would that be to have Josh McDaniels pick a quarterback that's not like Jimmy G, that's not like Tom Brady, the polar opposite of those two quarterbacks? What I would like, and what I would somewhat liken it to being here in Buffalo, this is kind of an underlying or like an underrated story in Josh Allen's development, that he throughout the years has pointed to the fact that he had Matt Barkley as his backup, who is the polar opposite quarterback of Josh Allen's talent, his ability, and his weaknesses. So he's repeatedly mentioned that Matt Barkley, being an anticipatory thrower, having to understand protections and read coverages, he helped a lot early in Josh Allen's career to take that next step, to show him that he can't just fire 100-mile-per-hour fastballs every single time out, and to understand where he needs to go with the football to make better decisions. With Richardson there under the tutelage of Jimmy Garoppolo and Josh McDaniels, I think it would actually be a really nice setup for him that, again, of course, would not have him rushed onto the field right away.
Chris Trapasso here with us. A lot of reports, and you have the fourth pick, have the Colts taking Will Levis, but in this mock draft, C.J. Stroud is available. I would like to think Indianapolis is taking a quarterback, but what do you think they're going to do here?
I'm going to go C.J. Stroud here. Yes, we have gotten those reports of late that it is more Will Levis than C.J. Stroud at the top. I'm going to go with Stroud, with Stroud, because I think he's just the better overall quarterback. I think he just checks the boxes and is more pro-ready than Will Levis. There will be some intrigue because of the Shane Steichen, their head coach, and his connection to Jalen Hurts and how much running he did in Philadelphia under Shane Steichen as his offensive coordinator. And certainly Will Levis is more that guy than C.J. Stroud. But the Colts, their GM, Chris Ballard, they need to win now. They can't have a developmental player, which I think is more of what Will Levis is at the quarterback spot. With CJ Stroud, they get someone that's ready to go week one. Maybe doesn't have insane upside, but I think he's going to be a pretty good starter for a long time in the NFL.
So I'm going to make my pick in just a second on the Seahawks. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have them taking a quarterback. Do you think there's a shot that either the Seahawks or the Lions, back-to-back 5-6, you got Geno Smith and Jared Goff, they end up taking a quarterback here with whoever's left?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance, but I do think it will matter which player is there. And with you already picking Anthony Richardson, I think if he's there at 5, Pete Carroll and John Schneider, if you look back at their drafting history, they love those big-time athletes. Even if the guys are not amazing football players and finished products, a lot of their first-round picks emphatically check those athleticism boxes. And even DK Metcalf in the second round in 2019, there were questions about his route running, but he's big, he's explosive. You couldn't really teach a lot of those things. So if it's Anthony Richardson, I think for both of those teams, I think it'd be a lot more intriguing than what it kind of falls to here with it being Will Levis.
So the other day I said, I believe that Tyree Wilson's going to be the first defensive player taken in this draft class, but I'm going to do what I think the Seahawks are going to do with this 5th overall pick. And I know you already have Will Anderson off the board. Seattle, the culture is tremendous. We know what Pete Carroll and John Schneider have built out there. I know there's off the field concerns, but with the upside of the player and what he's shown before, I'm going to have Seattle going with Jalen Carter out of Georgia at the 5th overall pick.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. It kind of feels like a culture up there in Seattle with Pete Carroll and John Schneider that could embrace Jalen Carter and really get the most out of him. And I think they really need that leader on the inside of their defensive line. Pete Carroll's been around the block in the NFL, in college. He's dealt with players like this in the past. That would be a home run pick for a team that was like a year or two ahead of their rebuild last season.
Chris Trapasso here with us from CBS Sports. So just to recap before we get to the 6th pick with the Lions, Panthers take Bryce Young, Texans go Will Anderson. I have the Cardinals moving back to 7, Raiders moving into 3, taking Anthony Richardson. Chris Trapasso did have the Colts taking CJ Stroud, and I just went with the Seahawks rocking and rolling with Jalen Carter. We go to Detroit, which they've made some good draft picks in the last few years. Penei Sewell, Aiden Hutchinson as well, just off the top of the cabeza. When you look at 6, who do you have the Detroit Lions taking here?
Devin Witherspoon from Illinois. And I think it's between either Witherspoon or Christian Gonzalez. They just traded Jeffrey Okuda to the Atlanta Falcons, the former number 3 overall pick, who was not drafted by the current regime of GM Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. But I think Christian Gonzalez is a little bit too similar to Jeffrey Okuda, that he's this long, lanky, athletic player. Devin Witherspoon's a little smaller. I think he'll do better mirroring wide receivers in the NFL. He kind of fits what the Lions are building on defense. He is a ferocious player, not as fast as Christian Gonzalez, not as long as Joey Porter Jr. or some of the other top corners in this class, but as a run defender, as a hitter, as a press man on an island corner, I think he's the best one in this class.
So then I moved to pick 7. Remember, I had a trade. The Raiders move up to 3. So then the Cardinals are here in at 7. It would not surprise me if the Cardinals trade back once again, because you have a new GM in Monty Ossenfurth. This kind of does feel like it's going to be a lost year anyway in the first year of a rebuild with the Cardinals. And you don't know when Kyler Murray's coming back and eventually DeAndre Hopkins will get traded. But I'll make a selection here, and I'll have Tyree Wilson going off the board to the Arizona Cardinals, as they will make him the 7th selection of the NFL draft. You at 8, who do you have the Falcons taking?
This is difficult. This would probably be, I don't want to say worst case scenario for the Falcons, but one that would be like, Will Anderson gone and Tyree Wilson gone, would not be that good of a scenario for them. Give me a second here. How about Lucas Van Ness from Iowa? Lucas Van Ness is only 21 years old, turns 22 this summer. Didn't really play a lot at Iowa last season, in that he was an underclassman, and it's kind of weird, but Kirk Ferentz has this philosophy where the seniors that have paid their dues, they get more of the playing time. The pass rush moves are there. The bull rush is certainly there. He's long. He's 6'4", 270 plus. and he's just scratching the surface on how good of a player he could be. So a lot of what I just said about the Falcons, I think, would really apply here to that defense. That's what they need, that true alpha pass rusher.
All right, let's go to 9. And I have the Chicago Bears, and this will be my final selection. And then Chris Trapasso will wrap things up with the 10th pick. So far right now, Bryce Young 1 to the Panthers, Will Anderson 2 to the Texans, Richardson 3 to the Raiders in a trade, C.J. Stroud 4th to the Colts, Jalen Carter 5th to the Seahawks, Devin Witherspoon 6th to the Lions, 7th I have Tyree Wilson going to the Cardinals, and 8, you just had the selection of Lucas Van Ness to the Atlanta Falcons. At 9, I'm kind of stuck with Christian Gonzalez here, a corner, which they could use, or I go an offensive lineman maybe in Peter Skoronski. Just because the way that I've seen Gonzalez mocked as definitely a top 10 pick, and some people are iffy on Skoronski. I think he's going to be a good player, but I don't know if he's going to go 10. I'll go with the corner here, Christian Gonzalez in at 9 for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly addressed the secondary in last year's draft relatively early, and they love Braxton Jones, the 5th-round pick out of Southern Utah last season at left tackle. They like Tevin Jenkins on the right side. It wouldn't shock me, though, if they go back to that well, because Christian Gonzalez, probably on a lot of teams' boards, is the number one corner, and to get him at 9 after trading back, you obviously got all those extra selections in the move back with Carolina. It wouldn't be a bad idea to build up the defense. They certainly got DJ Moore, Chase Claypool at the trade deadline last year. I wouldn't categorize this as a home run pick for the Bears, because I do think they do need to address more of the offense, but they are kind of in a weird spot there, and just truly going with the best player available, I don't think is ever a bad idea.
And finally, 10, here's the fascinating scenario if you're an Eagles fan, because they could use future help on the offensive line with guys like Kelsey and Lane Johnson getting up there in age. You have all the linemen available on the offensive side of the ball. But then at 10, Bijan Robinson could be screaming at the Philadelphia Eagles. So, Chris Trapasso, take it away. What do the Eagles do at 10?
I don't think they're going to go Bijan Robinson. I think Howie Roseman is smarter than that. I mean, they signed Rashad Penny to a very cheap deal. And that's not to say that I think Rashad Penny is going to be their bell cow and he's not going to get injured again, and he's their long-term answer. But the fact that they signed him to such a cheap deal makes me think that Howie Roseman understands that you can get these veterans coming off their rookie deals for not a lot of money and get quality players, and that they're much more likely to draft a player later than use a premium pick, this extra selection at number 10 overall, on Bijan Robinson. I'm going to have them picking Paris Johnson from Ohio State. And he does kind of feel like that redshirt type. They did it last year with Cam Jurgens and Jason Kelsey at that center spot. With Paris Johnson, you're getting someone, maybe not the cleanest film in the class, but super long arms, played guard, played tackle at Ohio State, very athletic. You know that you're getting an NFL caliber body. And to what you mentioned, Zach, they like to really load up in the trenches. So whether it's Kalijah Kancey here, Broderick Jones, I think Paris Johnson, though, is someone that if he did need to play as a rookie, could do that. It plays with a high floor and also has big time upside because of his measurables and his athleticism.
Are you down on Peter Skoronski? Just wondering, the fact that he didn't make him the selection here?
Yeah, I'm a little bit lower on him. I view him as more of like a back half of the first round type player as opposed to top 10. And if we look at kind of the history of Howie Roseman, he likes those measurables too. Like Lane Johnson was a physical freak, former tight end at Oklahoma. It would be surprising if the Eagles picked Peter Skoronski at 10, the shorter-ish arms, and is he maybe a guard, but probably a tackle at the next level. And I think he's a good athlete, but I don't know if he's a Philadelphia Eagles lineman caliber of athlete and what they've seemingly really prioritized or gravitated toward during the Howie Roseman era.
So this is a fun exercise. Last thing that I'll ask you before we let you go, Chris Trapasso, who's the one player or two, or give me one or two players that you're really optimistic on that we didn't address here in the top 10?
Kalijah Kancey from Pittsburgh, who I kind of just hinted at for the Eagles. They lost Javon Hargrave. He would be the perfect replacement. If they picked him there at 10, I don't think that would be a bad selection. Now, of course, what I just said about Peter Skoronski, he certainly would not check the measurables box, being like, you know, 6'1", 280 plus pounds with short arms. But in terms of just getting after the quarterback, I think he is the best pure pass rusher in the entire draft. He's not going to give you as much run defense as Aaron Donald or a lot of these other smaller players, but Kalijah Kancey, with his athleticism, his pass rush move arsenal explosion, and that kind of being in vogue at the defensive tackle spot in today's NFL, they're hard to find. I feel like Kalijah Kancey, the team that picks him, will know what to do with him. Won't ask him to eat double teams. Won't ask him to play much on those obvious running downs. But just getting up the field, he can beat blockers in so many ways. I'll be surprised if he's not a very good pass rusher in the NFL.
Chris Trapasso, nice new cut. That's how you know we're getting closer and closer to the NFL draft, because you're all business this time of the year. Appreciate you doing this.
Thanks, Zach.